no sooner done than said on AM 1050 KCAA.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. Federal safety officials say it's time to pull the plug on using cell phones while driving.
We know that this recommendation is going to be very unpopular with some people, but we're not here to win a popularity contest.
NTSB Chief Deborah Herzman says the proposed ban would also extend to hands-free devices. The former Penn State assistant coach accused of molesting 10 boys waived his right to a preliminary hearing. This kept Jerry Sandusky from having to confront his accusers in the courtroom today. The former Democratic governor and senator from New Jersey, John Corzine, was back in the hot seat on Capitol Hill today, saying he knows customers of his failed MF Global company are suffering.
My embarrassment does not blind me to the fact that they bear the brunt of the impact of the firm's bankruptcy.
Stocks faded before the closing bell. The Dow was off 66 points. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan with another worry-free shopping tip.
You know, the holidays can really be stressful.
Especially when you get the credit card bill.
Well, not at Rent-A-Center, because you don't need a credit card.
Get the brands you want and the flexible payments you need.
With no long-term commitments.
It's like taking a holiday from holiday bills.
Have a worry-free holiday at Rent-A-Center. Right now, get a special price on 60-inch LG HD TVs with delivery and setup included. See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
Your willpower is strong all year, always turning a blind eye to breakfast pastries and birthday donuts. Until now. Holidays come with a free pass to bake up all those turnovers and chocolate chip cookies you've been avoiding. But one forgotten ingredient can spell disaster. Be ready. Head to Walmart for low prices on everything you need for successful baking, like Nestle Toll House Morsels, Fisher Pecans, and Crisco Baking Sticks. Make this sweet spree worthwhile, because New Year's resolutions are right around the corner, and so are celery sticks. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Dee Dee Michaels. For today, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cloudy, high near 60. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 38. Wednesday, sunny, high near 60. Wednesday night, clear, low around 39. Thursday, sunny, high near 59. Thursday night, slight chance of rain, cloudy, low around 42. And Friday, slight chance of showers. That's your weather forecast. For this hour, from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
It's 4:03. I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update, brought to you by your Volkswagen dealer. Right now, during Sign Then Drive, it's never been easier to get the all-new Passat, the 2012 Motor Trend Car of the Year, for practically just your signature. That's the power of German engineering. Visit VWDealer.com. Now, there's some slowing out there, some issues. First of all, on the 215 southbound past University, a stalled car blocking the left lane, traffic slow from the 91. And then on the 15 northbound connector to the 60 westbound, the connector is shut down due to an overturned big rig, so the alternate is to take the 10 until further notice. And the 10 eastbound is slowing down from the 215 to Tippecanoe. Currently 56 degrees here in downtown San Bernardino. We have Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino coming up next, right here on AM 1050 and KCAAradio.com.
Are you looking to turn your home into a secure income stream? Consider the home-based gift annuity offered by the University of California, Riverside. The UCR home-based gift annuity pays you income for life while you stay in your home for life. Here's how it works. You agree to donate your property to the university while retaining full control and the right to live in it for your lifetime. In return, you receive guaranteed life income in the form of a fixed annuity. Your annuity rate is based on your age and a portion of your home value. You'll also get a charitable deduction and ongoing tax savings. The UCR home-based gift annuity is backed by the Office of the President of the entire UC system. For more information, Call the UCR Gift Planning Office at 877-249-0181. That's 877-249-0181.
Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company has been serving the greater Inland Empire for over 60 years. For all of your printing needs, from full-color printing to high-speed copying and everything in between, go to Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. Their staff is committed to your total satisfaction. Great service isn't just lip service at Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. It's the way they do business year after year. Having trouble finding drafting supplies? Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company still carries a complete selection. Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company is rated high in customer satisfaction by ValueStar, an independent rating company. For all of your personal or business printing, call Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company at 909-792-3478. That's 792-3478, or visit them on New York Street in Redlands off the I-10 and the Crosstown Freeway.
The station that leaves no listener behind.
KCAA Loma Linda, News Talk Radio for the Inland Empire.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and today we're going to talk about JCs for the birds. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. If you call us during our show, we'll do our best to answer your question during our show. Okay, today's show is about JCs for the birds. JCs for the birds was a venture that my dad undertook probably about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. But ultimately, it was an idea to make bird perches. And he actually came up with a really good idea. But the major flaw in the idea was that he wanted to do everything off the books. And as we dissect this particular idea, I think the listener will see that he had something, but he squandered it because he didn't take the long-term view. Now, this is something that we deal with a lot even today, and that is the problem with an entrepreneur not believing when he starts that he's going to be undertaking a business. And this, of course, is the concept behind the title of this show, Taking Your Business Seriously. If you don't take your business seriously, nobody else will. Okay, now in my dad's situation, there are a lot of people who wanted to take it seriously. But since he didn't, it died. Anyway, perhaps that made it easy for myself and my brothers that we didn't have to pick up the wreckage when he was done because it was done when he was done. But nonetheless, for those of us who are interested in building a business, the name of the game is taking the long term and pursuing your idea intelligently. All right, now the concept of JCs for the birds, the name itself, JC being my dad's initials, and he always enjoyed the term of people referring to something as being for the birds. And in his later years, he got into some birds and breeding some significant birds that both talked and did a lot of other things. He used to breed them, take them to different places around the country and sell them. That was his major diversion in his later years. But in dealing with some of these larger birds, he came up with a problem that with the tools at his disposal. And again, we're talking about the later years of someone who, as a handyman, or as they call it, a jack of all trades, this man was a master of all trades. There's nothing that he couldn't do. So as he pursued this problem that he was confronted with in his either late 60s or early 70s, he didn't necessarily have all the tools that he carried through his life. But at the same time, he understood how to do things. And as I said, in his later years, he didn't have the complete command of all these things. But what he did find himself with was a bird, and apparently this is kind of typical of a lot of birds, but a bird that it didn't matter what he gave that bird to perch on, the bird would destroy it. And part of the problem here is that for birds, there's something that they constantly do at two levels. One is they're constantly cleaning themselves and removing their old feathers or whatever. I'm not as into birds to speak as knowledgeably on this subject, but ultimately they're pulling out their feathers, or they're pulling out the feathers that have fallen off, and they're constantly polishing their talons or the what I would think of as a claw, but their feet per se, otherwise correctly termed talons. We looked that one up today, but they're constantly sharpening their claws and their beak. And the fact is, the bite, and he was mostly dealing with, I believe they were called red-wing macaws. And the bite of this bird was absolutely lethal. You know, if you had a relationship with the bird, you're okay. But don't ever mess with a red-wing macaw that you don't know well, because that thing will cut you like you can't imagine. But anyway, it's the sharpening of both the nails on the talons and their beak that kind of tears apart a lot of things. And at one point, my dad experimented with a master lock that he had used to hold his cage together. And while the bird didn't necessarily unlock the cage, he destroyed the lock. And I think a lot of people remember the master lock commercials where they would show somebody firing a bullet at the master lock. It would blow that thing apart, but it would still be holding the thing closed. Well, a lock generally is a pretty difficult thing to break. Apparently a bullet was able to in that commercial. But for a bird to be able to tear a metal thing apart is pretty impressive. But anyway, the same thing was true with the perches that they perched on. They would, I didn't really watch them, but over a period of time, you would see the total disintegration of anything that you put into that bird's cage. Either it was eaten, or it was effectively ground to nothing. So in my dad's experience, the problem was the perch. Okay, the perch, of course, the bird needed to stand on it, but at the same time, that it was standing on it, the bird was systematically destroying the perch. Now, if you're keeping birds, whether the bird is destroying his perch or not, you need to replace it. And the sturdier or the more durable they are, of course, the more expensive they are. And, of course, it didn't take long for my dad to realize that he could probably do better. And he did. And, Gary, what was his method for the solution to this perch problem?
He found a way to take, a metal rod and pretty much encase it in concrete. And he was able to clamp it to the end of the cage and with just a washer and a bolt. So it would be pretty much tightened on there, just like an ordinary perch, except it was made of concrete. And that made it a lot more durable than the other perches that were available, and also a lot cheaper to make. It wasn't something you go to the store and you pay $20 for. It was something you can make in your spare time, which your dad, at his age, had the spare time to make it.
Sure. And, of course, as opposed to him going and or looking at the other perches that people were paying $20 for, what was the beauty of this perch?
It was basically, it cost just a couple of dollars to make.
And who were people paying $20 for this perch?
He came up with the idea that making them on a little bit of a bigger scale than just for himself, he was selling to others and making the money himself.
That's right. And for him, it was a relative gold mine, especially since he was living on a retirement income, and he had been a teacher, and he also, of course, in those days was collecting Social Security. So just selling a few of these things put some serious money into his pocket. So anyway, in looking at the business plan that he pursued here, his general concept was that birds need perches and that birds will destroy anything. But if you make a difficult-to-destroy perch, they will last longer, and at the same time, when the perch is destroyed, the pet owner will be back to buy another one. The beauty in any business plan is when you can get the same customer to come back to buy the same product in the same capacity as the old one, you have what we like to call a recurring customer. So ultimately, whether he was thinking about a business plan or not, he kind of stumbled onto something that, from my own experience as an accountant and a business consultant, he actually had something really good. The marketing concept worked out nicely. How did he market these things, Gary?
He went to the same bird shows that he was currently attending with his own birds, and he was selling it to the other bird owners there, and he was showing how it worked with his birds. And they obviously knew him from past shows or whatever in the area, and they were able to trust him, and they bought it from him, and it worked.
Right, okay. Now, on the subject of, you said at the bird shows, there were other bird owners, but who else usually goes to these trade shows?
People from around the country and people who sell their own products.
Okay, exactly. So, the fact is, from my own knowledge and my own experience, not that I was that closely involved, but in conversation with him, his regular habit was he would go to these bird shows with his Toyota van full of perches, and I like to say that he would come back with an empty van and a pocket full of money. Okay, when you sell them that fast, who would you suspect is doing a lot of the buying here?
The people from around who go from show to show who are selling their own products. They're taking your product and selling it to others.
Exactly. Okay, so that just points to the power of the idea that he had here, that he would go to these bird shows and sell out. Usually you don't sell out when everyone's just buying one. You sell out when people are buying whatever they can get. So this worked out very nicely for him. He lived in New York on Long Island, and that was his market. He just went to the different bird shows on Long Island. He was a member of a bird club. I don't remember the club in particular, but as is the case with any bird organization, they communicate with other bird organizations, and so some of them may be about the birds, some of them may be about selling stuff to bird owners or enhancing the pet experience. It's all part of the same game. But in the process, there are people who are there for pleasure, and there are other people who are there for business. And so he was a little bit of both, because you better believe when he went to these bird shows, he had his red-winged macaw that he was very, very proud of. that was his marketing plan, just simply to do what he usually did, except he would bring perches to the bird shows that he attended. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm here with Gary, and we're talking about JCs for the birds. And when we return, we're going to talk about JCs for the birds a little bit more. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. You call us during the show, we will answer your question on the air. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Matthew, you know energy-saving light bulbs last 6 times longer than that old bulb in your lamp.
Yeah, well, I don't even live here.
Matthew, dinner's ready.
I never met that woman.
It's your favorite, Matt. Lasagna.
Don't you people knock? Just give me the energy saver.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
This entire piece of music is played with only 2 instruments, a right hand and a left hand. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life with hands-only CPR. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. Hands-only CPR is recommended by the American Heart Association, and it's incredibly easy and effective. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. The power to help save a life is in your hands. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. I'm home. And I love it. I'm home. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov. Or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I belong.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Don't miss a minute of the action. Check out the podcasts at www.kcaaradio.com. The station that leaves no listener behind, AM 1050 KCAA.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about JCs for the birds. If you have any question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. If you call us on the air, we will do our best to answer your question on the air. All right, back to JC's for the birds. This was being brought to you as a great opportunity that got away. But as we continue to look a little bit closer at the company, let's get to the important parts here. Gary, what were the stated goals of the owner of JC's for the birds?
It was basically to keep everything simple and to just make a quick buck.
Sure. Since that was all that was being looked for, okay, there were significant elements of the business that in the end would be limitations. Okay, for instance, where did we manufacture these perches?
He manufactured them at his house.
Ah, yes, in the basement of the Farmingville Manufacturing Facility, as I like to call it. And what were the components of a perch?
All that you really needed was he was like a quarter-inch threaded rod with the length was variable. He would encase it in cement, and for that he needed the kind of a molding material, which he used like a kind of a plastic. He would round it and put a rubber band around it so that it wouldn't stick to it, and he would add the washer and the nut to it and put it on a birdcage.
Sure. And the beauty of the plastic molds that he was using is they didn't stick to the cement, and they resulted in a very smooth surface, which if you're trying to keep something that somebody is going to be rubbing on smooth from coming apart, starting off smooth is probably a good approach. Okay, and as for transportation?
As you said earlier, he was just going around in his van.
That's right. Okay, and... as far as labor in the process?
He was pretty much doing everything. Maybe eventually somebody would help him unload it or help him out if he needed needed a hand. But for the most part, he was doing everything on his own.
Sure. Okay, and this is something that I've seen a little bit here and there with something that I generally think of as a flawed business model. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But as he got older... loading the perches into his van was a bit of a laborious task. And at the time, he was in the process of being brought down by emphysema. So in that particular sense, what strength he had, he was very limited in what he could do because of his difficulty breathing. And so as he continued along with this business, it became an important part of his business model that well-intentioned people would help him to load his van and to unload his van. And while this worked for him, whenever I see a business that's model is based on the good faith and good intentions of other people who are not directly involved in the business, this is a very good indication for those of you who find yourself evaluating a business that you're interested in buying. These are very important items to note as you evaluate it. Now, granted, when it's in your hands, you can deal with these things differently. And, of course, that may be part of the benefit of you buying someone's business, that you will provide, shall we say, enlightened management and run it better, and thus take an idea that was flawed in its current existence and create a new existence with the same idea and thus manage it a little bit more intelligently. The volunteer labor is a great thing, but for a for-profit business, it is not the most meaningful long-term strategy. Okay, so as we look at the business plan that we've just run down between the last segment of this, okay, let's just look at it generically as we would look at any other business. Okay? When we look at the concept, Gary, how do we feel about that?
Well, it seems just about perfect. I mean, to make these things, it maybe costs maybe a dollar or two, and then you can sell them for at least five times that without anyone even blinking.
Right. Okay. And at the same time, when you say that it costs a dollar or two to make this,
I'm thinking in terms of the materials, and if he's doing it himself, he's not having to pay anyone the money to do it. So it's kind of a win-win for him.
Right, but when you say that it costs $2 to make this particular product, okay, do you feel like you're rounding up or rounding down?
Probably rounding up.
That's right. So, yeah, $2 at the most to create these things. And while I haven't gone around to price bird perches, we're looking at current values of the components that go into one of these things. Okay? And we're guessing that he might be selling them for $20. I have a suspicion he might be selling, he might have been, or they might, a similar product these days might sell for a lot more than that. And that may even be at the wholesale level. They were happy to buy them as they were buying them, and this is about 10 years ago, as quickly as they were, for resale. You can assume that they were probably, if they were buying from him for $20, chances are they were selling them for $40. So this is just a perfect, perfect product. Anyway, so in that particular sense, he had something. Okay, now the marketing plan. He wasn't really advertising these things, was he?
No.
Okay. But he just simply took himself where the buyers were, and the buyers looked as long as they were purchased there. And when the purchases went away, they went on to other stuff. But at the same time, who went home with the purchase?
The anyone who wanted one.
That's right. But not the guy who brought them.
Yeah.
Okay. He went home with the money. Okay, so in that particular sense, the marketing was limited because he wasn't pursuing, he was pursuing a good channel to move his product. And the fact that he was moving all of his product, that kind of brings back the old adage about what I always say about, and I use this term mostly in the inventor community, but when you invent a product, you have a lot of hopes for it. But in the end, it's going to either be a success or a failure. And the problem with this is that there very rarely is that in between. If it's a success, you can't manufacture them fast enough to sell them. And if it's a failure, you end up with a warehouse full of them. And in that warehouse full of them, where is all your capital?
It's in the warehouse.
That's right. Is it easily liquidated?
No.
That's right. So, in the end, that's your failed business. All your money is in a product that nobody wants. Okay? Now, in this particular situation, it appears that all of the purchases we're dealing with here, they all disappeared. He couldn't make them fast enough. But at the same time, as we ran our own numbers in terms of how many he must be moving at each bird show, how many did we decide he was probably selling?
He was probably able to carry like around 500 or 500 in his van at a time. We assumed they weighed approximately 2 pounds each, and the weight capacity we assumed he could carry 500 if he was just driving himself.
Sure, okay. And all these sold just like that. Okay, so how many could he have sold?
He could have probably easily sold maybe double that. Maybe.
Okay. Okay, well, now remember the other element here. Now, he was just limiting himself to bird shows on Long Island. Okay, now, since he was regularly going to all the different ones that they were, and, well, the population of Long Island is rather significant, so referring to it as a small area is a little bit misleading, but the fact is, even in that area, how many bird shows could there have been in a given year?
I don't know, maybe five or so.
Yeah, maybe every other month, something like that. Maybe they don't have them around Christmas. But the fact is that he was emptying everything he had in a relatively small market through rather limited channels. Okay. Now, as a business consultant, when I see somebody who's selling something that fast, what do I like to think of as the next level on that?
Expanding them and building more and more, so you're able to sell more.
Right, making more and increasing the different avenues of selling them. Okay, so instead of going to bird shows, I might start going to pet stores. And I might start finding out who the major producers are of this particular type of product, so I could sell them to a distributor. Instead of selling them to the people who are using them, selling them to the people connected to the people who are using them. But the fact is that if we're just talking about Long Island, that's a small start, a small part of a relatively large state. And it's also a very small part of a relatively large country, if not a large world. there's a lot of potential. Now, because of the simplicity of it, it's conceivable that competitors might have come up and he might have had some competitors to deal with. But the fact is, 10 years later, I'm not aware that anyone has picked up this idea. So it was all his. But anyway, because of his own limitations and his marketing limitations, he never took this any further than the starting gate. Okay? But when we get back to his goals, perhaps it's easy to see a lot of things here. If he wanted to keep it simple, and he wanted to make his money as easily as he can, and the other thing that always grates on me is he wanted to keep it off the books, that limits him to very short term, just to the end of the month, to the end of the year, as long as I can do this. Okay? It also, the idea of keeping it simple is kind of a simple-minded approach to running a business. Because the fact is, if you're going to develop a business and exploit your opportunities, you got to be thinking on your feet. Okay? You have to see your opportunities and exploit them. Okay? Now, part of that particular game is a little bit of a discipline here. Because if you have 15 opportunities to pursue, and you're the only one that's doing it, okay, you can't pursue all 15 opportunities. And in that particular sense, because of his limitations, maybe he was intelligently pursuing the most obvious avenue. But if he was serious about running his business, then what he would have done was brought on additional people who could exploit these additional opportunities. Okay, so that bringing in additional people complicates the process and violates the idea of keeping it simple. But at the same time, if you want to make serious money, and perhaps an old man, retired man who is in his declining days with emphysema, maybe that was the limitation there. In his mind, he didn't expect to be there long enough to really exploit this thing, so he didn't pursue it. And I'm not sitting here as a bitter heir that this great company he could have created was not left to me. I'm happy with what I have, and I'm happy with the relationship with my dad, and I'm happy that he was able to pursue and have fun with this. But the fact is that if he had pursued it as I would have pursued the business, his world might have been significantly different too. Anyway, we each have our own life to live. I'm not trying to live my dad's life for him. But as I evaluate this business that he took so casually, it's a struggle for me to grasp with what could have been, just because everyone dreams of a successful business, and this one got away. Okay, now, when we talk about the off-the-books issue here, okay, this is something for anybody that is currently talking about doing something off the books, and we're going to touch on this in the next segment. From time to time, I've mentioned a video offered on the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. The video is called Taking Your Business Seriously, and it's generally a primer for budding entrepreneurs, but anybody in the earlier stages of a new business can avoid a lot of the mistakes entrepreneurs make in their first business venture. It covers everything from the elements of business formation, how to choose a consultant, business planning, entity selection, payroll issues, employee relations, getting legal advice, the benefits of an accounting system, and the Capolino Rule of Six. Again, this video is available on the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm here with Gary, and we've been talking about JC's for the Birds, a great opportunity that never was. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. You call us on the show, we'll do our best to answer the question while we're still on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who's been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works, too. My kids go to school with your kids. I sit next to you at PTA meetings. We live right next door. We've been neighbors for years. You know my family and me pretty well, but here's one thing you don't know. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. Like you, we believe in this country. What's hard to believe is in the land of milk and honey, how many hardworking Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding their families. This is a problem with a solution. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for those around you quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screenings. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ. Good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to ahrq.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Robert Cardoza Live, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Robert Cardoza Live, talking politics, money, and you. Weekdays at 5 p.m., Robert Cardoza Live, bringing together politics, money, and you. Here on KCAA 1050 AM.
This is...
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about JCs for the birds. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the takingyourbusinessseriously.com website. For those of you who haven't been listening to this entire show, JCs for the birds was a idea that my dad came up with about 10 or 15 years ago, and he passed away in 2004, so that was kind of the end of the idea. And we've kind of been examining this business here as perhaps a great idea, but perhaps a good example of how not to run a business. And, of course, the success or failure of any business is largely defined at the owner level, whether he's happy or not with his results. And the fact is that My dad was probably happy with what he did here. I'm, as a business consultant, just looking at it and thinking of what could have been if he had a different approach. And before the break, we mentioned that one of the flaws in his approach was that he did things off the book, something that probably hits close to home for a lot of people who are in their own businesses, at least in the very early going, the point before they realize that they have a business. And as their business develops into something meaningful, the fact that they haven't done everything correctly, if not legally, creates a problem for them as they go forward. For some, it's kind of a deep, dark secret that they hope nobody finds out about. For others, they worry about the authorities catching up to them. And anyway, these are a lot of things that if you pursued correctly when you started, could have relieved you of a lot of difficulties as you get further in. But in particular, when you run a business off the books, the first thing that it does is it forecloses the potential value of the business. Because what is the most meaningful element of keeping a business off the books, Gary?
Well, you have to avoid one of the first things that you're supposed to do when you start a business, which is open up a bank account.
That's right. Now, you can work through your own bank account, but what's the problem with running it through your own bank account?
You really can't measure the success or failure of the business.
That's right. You can't see the business. And granted, that's the plan. But what happens when you have something meaningful and you want to show somebody what it's worth? Can you give them financial statements?
No, you can. They pretty much just have to take your word for it.
That's right. The fact is, yes, you can give them financial statements, but unless those financial statements can be traced back to something on the outside, like a bank account, a bank verifying or validating the information that's there, it becomes very difficult. And in terms of having to take someone's word for it, if you're giving somebody $150 for a business idea, are you that worried about their word?
No.
Okay. But if you're giving them $150,000 for it, how interested are you in their word now?
You're a lot more interested.
Okay. And when it becomes $150 million, is their word worth anything?
No, it's... You make sure everything else is in order.
That's right. But, anytime we get involved in a business, we're assuming a certain amount of risk. But that risk is minimized when there are things that you can rely on. Now, in the financial services industry, we've run into a number of things where organizations claim to be audited by CPA firms that in the end ended up not even existing. But if you can have a business that you're interested in and have a CPA audit their books and validate the information that they're giving, a CPA that you know or at least you can talk to, there's a significant amount of comfort in this. But if you don't have books and records, how many CPAs are going to even look at that to validate it?
No one who can really help you.
That's right. And the fact is, no reputable CPA would validate a company that has no books and records. That's just extremely difficult to do. And for a company that's got a reputation based on the accuracy of their work, that's something they just couldn't get into. Okay. Now, the other thing, when you don't have a bank account, how does that work in terms of plowing your profits back into the company?
You can't. They're going into your bank account, so you can't establish what's the profit and what's just what you have in the bank account.
Exactly. So there may be some capital that's going into your bank account, but nobody can see the difference between that and your company, because by definition, your company doesn't exist. And that's the whole point of not having its own bank account. Okay? So there may be profits, but what's the problem when you have profits and it turns into boats and expensive cars and expensive houses?
It's harder to put money into the company.
Right, but at the same time, when you have all these things, doesn't this suggest that there is a source of income?
Yes.
And who might be interested in that?
The IRS.
Exactly, the taxing authorities. So the fact is that you can have all these profits, but they're not allowed to materialize into anything significant, because then that creates a new problem. Okay. Now, granted, if your business is small and you start realizing that your business is turning into something, that's a pretty good point to start realizing that you, quote, need to go straight. You need to start turning your business into a business and start doing things by the book. And it's never too late to do that. Okay. And while a lot of people say, well, if I start doing it straight, won't that raise a flag? And to a certain degree, it will, but something else that also should be considered. Now, granted, this should be guided with as much legal and accounting support as you can get. But traditionally, since we have a self-reporting tax system, usually the source of the leads of who to prosecute is usually not the people who are coming clean. It's usually the people who aren't showing the income in the first place, when there are things like I just mentioned, the houses, the cars, the boats, and all that. That's what makes people start asking questions. The fact that you've started reporting when you haven't reported before is an issue. But as I said, guided by a good lawyer and a good accountant, chances are these difficulties can be overcome. Because the fact is that as a functional business, as a successful business, you make jobs and you help the local economy. And in doing that, it is not in government's interest to shut you down and make an example out of you, because it doesn't really help the economy to lose all those jobs and to close down a successful business. If the business is coming into compliance, it is in the government's interest to work with this company as they come into compliance. But anyway, I'm not involved in law enforcement, and this is a delicate area. But the point is, if you're going to ever realize the value that you have, you're going to have to pay taxes. If you make money, you pay taxes. There's no escaping that. If you want to be successful, you got to play in the game, not outside the game. All right. As we near the end of our segment here, I just want to point to a number of the things about this business, JC's for the Birds, that shouldn't be missed as we talk about it. And for starters, we have to get back to the point that this is a little old man on Long Island in New York who went to bird shows on occasion because that was what he did. And he made some perches that he brought to these bird shows, and he sold them. And obviously, because he was a regular at the bird shows, there were people who were interested in his product that used to buy it. And through no efforts of his own to communicate to the outside world, he actually got an inquiry from somebody in California. And it was a distributor who was interested in distributing his product. Okay, for anybody who has ever invented a product, an inquiry like that is solid gold. Okay, you dream of such a thing. And once again, that just points to the power of the idea that we were talking about here. Okay, the fact that he sold out at every bird show says that he had an absolutely great product. And the response speaks for itself. Okay? But because he did everything off the books, when the founder died, so did the business. There's absolutely nothing to show for it. Okay? Except maybe of the information that I brought out on this radio show, because it wasn't really something that he talked about. When he would show different friends and family what he was doing, everybody always had a better idea for how he would do it. And he used to be really insulted by this. because it was to suggest that he hadn't considered all of these other things. So as a result, he kind of kept it to himself. He didn't really want to talk about it with anybody else. I saw it, his son, as an accountant, and I was just absolutely fascinated by it. Just something that he thoughtlessly did. And, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, he was a teacher, and he spent a lot of time. He taught auto mechanics. I mean, it was one of several things that he was good at. But the fact is that he used to spend a lot of his time. His school day would be over at 3 o'clock. He used to teach at night, but between 3 and 7, that was his tinkering time. And when he was at home, he was always working on something, and it was always related to something that he needed to do. He never had that entrepreneurial bent. But when he got older and he had a problem, he came up with an idea that suddenly had meaning with everybody else. He didn't go shopping it around. People saw what he was doing, and they wanted some, and they made suggestions. And because he was hanging with a different group than when he was raising a family, all by itself, this thing coalesced into a meaningful business. But once again, when he died, so did the business. And as I was briefly reflecting earlier, where if this business was managed correctly, or at least managed at the lower level as a business, it had potential value for somebody else. And I always remember there was somebody that he liked quite a bit. He was a younger guy, and when he died, he was very specific that this bird needed to go to this guy. And I always like to think that if he really liked that guy, if he had just paid a little bit more attention to his business, that he could have given the business to this guy, because this guy was into birds too, and it probably would have been even better for him. But anyway, as I said, success is a funny thing. Gifts are a funny thing. Legacies are a funny thing. But the fact is, none of this changes the individual that was involved. As I said, he was a jack of all trades. No, he was a master of all trades. And he got into birds, and he came up with the thoughtless idea that he was able to turn into something. Once again, for the entrepreneurs who are out there, it gets back to the same old thing. Take your business seriously. Okay? If you have something that has meaning, then you need to try to build around what you have. In my dad's situation, he was working in the basement of his house, a very limited facility, which limited his production. He had no place to store his stuff, and he had absolutely no planning. And for him, planning would have been as easy as carrying inventory or even renting a truck if he just came to grips with the power of the idea that he had. Okay, in terms of the transportation issues, that could have been the leap, because he would have had to hire somebody. But he just simply opted not to do that. And for to exploit any idea, whether it's to bring in managers or to bring in some of the horses to carry the stuff, you got to hire people. And I've mentioned it before, for those people who pay people off the books, there's an easier way. Okay, the part-time CFO does payroll for companies with employees of five or less for $600 a year. Okay. We're getting close to a new year. Do you want to continue next year the same way that you're doing things this year? Or do you want to start taking it toward compliance? Okay, payroll is a little one. Okay, and if that's the only thing that you're doing that's out of compliance, that's an easy one to fix. Okay, this has been Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. I've been here with Gary, and we've been talking about JCs for the birds, a lost opportunity. And we'll be back next week to take your business to the next level. You can check us out at our website, takingyourbusinessseriously.com, or you can check out the part-time CFO at GaryThePartTimeCFO.com. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, this is Superstation KCAA in Loma Linda with your local news. Now here's what's going on at 5 o'clock. Governor Brown announced today trigger cuts to deal with the mounting state budget deficit and to seek new taxes. Governor has spared K-12 education, but is slashing higher education, child care, and school bus service. Most Californians like the governor's proposal to temporarily increase the state sales tax and the income taxes of higher earners. The survey offers an early look at Californians' view of the plan that the governor hopes to put before the voters next November. 15-year-old Jordan Romero, his dad and stepmother, are leaving the comforts of their home at Big Bear to climb Antarctica's highest peak. The Big Bear High School student has conquered the highest mountains on six continents, including Mount Everest. Mount Vincent Massif will be his last. It's more than 16,000 feet and is the coldest peak in the world. It's almost summer now in the Antarctic. Jordan tells what he expects to find.
It's not such a steep climber. I mean, that's not such a big obstacle. But I think, there's many crevasses down there.
And, of course, he wants to avoid those. Later, Jordan says he'll downsize his goal somewhat by climbing the highest points in all 50 states. On a business note, SolarMax is set to open 25 retail shops in Southern California by the end of next year. The City of Industry-based output says solar power is becoming more affordable, and opening those retail shops will help spread that knowledge to both commercial and residential markets. Getting around downtown Riverside a bit easier now that Lime Street between University Avenue and 9th Street has been reopened. It's been closed since last summer for construction. Caltrans, by the way, is